We're going to look at some things. We're going to look at some wonderful things about God. We're going to look at some wonderful things about God. Now, I suppose if I were to ask you about some wonderful things you could talk about God, you would be able to enumerate a number of things. But I want to look at some things this morning. And then this evening, if you'll come back, this evening we're going to talk about the wonderful thing about God's love in detail. We'll talk about it a little bit this morning, but we're going to talk about it in detail this evening. I have thought about several things that are wonderful about God. Of course, the fact that He created the earth. That's a wonderful thing, because if He hadn't, we wouldn't be here. The fact that He gives to all life and breath and all things. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But I want to look at some more specific things about that. One of the first things that we think about when we think about the wonderful thing about God is that He sent Jesus to save mankind. And that is a wonderful thing, folks, that He sent Jesus to save mankind. In Romans 5, in verse 6, the Apostle Paul was talking about that when he said, we still were without strength. There was a time when we were without strength. He's talking about himself. He's talking about the ones to whom he's writing there, the Romans who were Christians. He said, but in due time, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. When we were without strength, when we couldn't do anything, when we couldn't help ourselves because of sin, and the end of sin, the end result or wages of sin is death. When we couldn't do anything about that, Jesus Christ came and He died for those who were in sin. He died for the ungodly. He goes ahead to say in verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's why I said the wonderful things about God is that He sent Jesus to save mankind. Not because mankind was doing what's right. Not because everybody was good and everybody was thinking about God and everybody was being religious. But He sent Jesus Christ to the earth to save those who were in sin. I want you to think about that. Sometimes we might be willing to do something for some people because they're good people. We think about our neighbors. Maybe we're going to take something to our neighbor, but we've got one down the street, won't speak to us, won't take care of his yard, won't do any of these kind of things, and we wouldn't think about doing anything for him. But Jesus Christ thought about you and me when we were in sin. Now, I realize sometimes some sins may be graver than others as far as we look at it. But as far as God is concerned, if an individual continues in sin, which is missing the mark of righteousness and of goodness from a spiritual standpoint, when God looks at that, He considers that to be something that will cause people to be lost. I want you to think about the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth. God sent His Son to die for people who really, in a sense, didn't deserve it. Who were sinners and living in sin. Even those who denied the existence of God. God so loved the world that He sent His Son. In Hebrews 5 and verse 9, when the Hebrew writer was writing about this, he said, having now we've been justified by His blood. Because we've been justified by His blood, he said, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. That is, through Christ. We were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, he goes ahead to say. We've been brought back to God through the death of His Son. God's love is so great that He sent Jesus to reconcile us through Jesus Christ unto Him. How do we get to God today? Through Jesus Christ. That's how we do it. He went ahead to say, since we've been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So we've been reconciled to God. We've been brought back to God. But the Hebrew writer said, we're also saved by whose life? By the life of Jesus, by the life of Christ. And not only that, but we also rejoice in that thought, in the fact that God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice because of the Lord Jesus Christ and of what God has done through our Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful things about God, the wonderful love of God, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 5 verses 9 through 11. But he also said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, I thank my God always. We can always thank God for the fact that He sent Jesus. While we were sinners, when one is in sin, he can't extrapolate himself from sin by himself. He's going to have to do something that God tells him to do, but God's part is he tells him what to do. And God made it in such a way, his plan, that we can do what he tells us to do and we can extrapolate ourselves from the sin that will destroy us. And so when Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, he reminded them, I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We're favored by God. The word grace means favor. We're favored by God through the sending of His Son, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful life we have today because Jesus Christ came to this earth. But God also showed His love. He showed us His love, not only through the death of Jesus Christ, but He showed us His love because He sent His only begotten Son. You know, you might have a lot of sons. Some parents have. I was watching something the other day, and this man said, I was the 11th son. 11 sons. Must not have had much else to do. But they had 11 sons, and you might lose one son, but you've got 10 other sons. But God Almighty had one son, and He was willing to send His one son to this earth, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the idea of the love of God. God so loved the world. That has to do with the fact of the immense love of God. We'll talk about that in more detail, as I said, this evening. But it was manifested toward us. This love of God was manifested toward us in that God sent His only begotten Son. That's the way John puts it in 1 John 4 and verse 9. It was manifest, it was brought about, it was shown to us in that He sent His only begotten Son. He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Isn't that wonderful? You talk about wonderful time of the year, it's a wonderful time all year than the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth and that God showed His love to us. In this is love, John went ahead to say. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. This is the kind of love, real love. This is love that God did this. Not that He just said He was going to do it, or I'm thinking about doing it, but that God did it. Well, the wonderful love of God is also shown in that He shows mercy to us. Mercy, He looks down upon us. Mercy has to do also with compassion, doesn't it? He's merciful to people. He's compassionate to people. He sees their plight. You remember Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet He was without sin. Jesus Christ lived as a man here upon the earth. He saw what people go through. And therefore, He can be our advocate before God because He lived here upon the earth. And it's not like we hire a lawyer out there that's never experienced these things. And he might say, well, I never experienced this, but I believe them. They experienced this. Jesus Christ experienced everything that man can experience, or human beings can experience. And He showed us how to live above sin or without sin. He was tempted in every point like as we are. He was a man here upon. He was found in fashion as a man upon this earth. And God showed His mercy through this. But let's look at some passages that also give us some further insight into this. In Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 4, we're told that God is rich in His mercy. You might show some mercy to people. You might show a little mercy to people. You might say, well, I'm going to help them this time, but if they do this again, I'm not going to help them again. But God is rich in His mercy. You remember when Jesus Christ was asked the question, how many times should we forgive a brother? You remember when He was asked that question? And His answer was, 70 times 7. And He said, if he sins against thee and comes and says, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. That's what Jesus said. That's mercy, folks. God is rich in His mercy. He showed us His mercy. in his, what his son had to say about things. God sent his only begotten son. God did this. But because of his great love, which he loved us even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. That's what he says in verse 5 of Ephesians 2. And it was not by works of righteousness which we have done. In other words, we didn't deserve. We couldn't do so many works of righteousness that we could demand God get show mercy to us. But it was according to his mercy that he saved us. It reminds me a little bit of a court system today, our court system. Sometimes the judge will take into effect what kind of a life the defendant had. Maybe he really didn't have much of a chance in life. Maybe he didn't really have parents. That is, the parents abandoned him. Maybe he's just had to fight for himself and he's done some things because he never was taught the right thing. And the judge looks at that. And therefore, he mitigates the sentence because of the fact that he understands what that person has gone through. That's mercy, folks. Sometimes judges show mercy. In Titus 3 and verse 5, we're told, according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Because of his mercy. God is a merciful God. We ought to be very thankful for that. How wonderful it is. How wonderful God is. The wonderful God we have. That he has shown mercy to us. Well, how did he do that? Through his favor. Through his grace. Our wonderful God showed us grace. He showed us what grace is. And he extended grace to us. In Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, he might show his exceeding riches of his grace. He has shown his exceeding riches. That means more than enough, doesn't it? It exceeded what you might think he should do. It reminds me a little bit of what Paul said about the in the Corinthian letter about the Macedonians, that they gave beyond their ability. That's what this is, the exceeding riches. He gave more riches than one might think he ought to give. He did that because of his grace. But these riches of his grace is found in his kindness toward us in Christ. That's what he said in Ephesians 2 and verse 7. Toward us in Christ Jesus, for by grace we have been saved through faith. And it's not of ourselves. That salvation, it is the gift of God. In other words, there's nothing we could do in and of ourselves to save ourselves. Paul, in talking about his condition before Jesus Christ came in the Roman letter, said unto him about himself with regard to his life, how pitiful it was. He talks about his life. And there was no hope for him until Jesus Christ came. And that's because of the wonderful grace of God. God showed his grace. How wonderful is our God? We talk about the wonderful time of the year because families can get together and presents are exchanged with one another and we get to eat nice food and good food and all that, and we get to enjoy the time we get to get off work during that period of time. How wonderful that is. But you think about the wonderful grace of God. I'm not deprecating the other thing. It's wonderful to have the other thing. But let's not forget the wonderful grace of God. In Ephesians 4 and verse 7, Paul put it like this. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. There Christ is used again. The gift of God was Christ. That's the gift. And that's because of God's grace. Because he wanted to favor mankind. Because he thought about mankind. God didn't just create mankind and then walk away. Okay, they're on their own. I've done it. I'm busy doing something else. He had a plan for mankind. If mankind violated the responsibility he had here upon earth to live as God would have him, God had a plan for him. He didn't just abandon man. He had a plan, and that plan was the death of Jesus Christ, and that grace of God is given in the gift. We talk about gifts this time of year. And we watch the little ones a lot of times, teenagers too, I guess. And maybe even those of us adults, as we tear into that package and it's something we really want, what a great gift that is. But the greatest gift of all is what God did through His grace. Through His grace, and that's Jesus Christ. In Acts 20, in verse 32, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. He said, "Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace." You know, God favored us by giving us the Bible, the New Testament particularly, which we live under today. And that's the word of His grace. That's the favor of God so we can see what the rules and regulations are. I don't know what to do about this. I don't know how to live. Well, you turn to the word of God and there it is. It tells me. God thought about all those things before I came on the earth. Before I even existed, God thought about all the things that I needed. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God thought about all of those things because of His grace. Now, I want you to think about this individually, because of His grace to you, to me. The wonderful things about God, well, He's shown His grace. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And when Paul was writing to these Ephesians, or speaking to these, he said, "This grace of God which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." This word of God, what can it do? It can build us up spiritually. Not only that, but it can also give us an inheritance among those who are set apart unto God. You read the word of God and it can set you apart to the inheritance. What is the inheritance? Eternal life. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, again the Apostle Paul is writing, he said, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you." He's able to make all grace, what? Abound toward you. The word abound means to be teeming with, bubbling over. In other words, God's grace is so full that it bubbles over. If you'll just accept it, use it, become a part of it. That you may always, look at what he says, that you may always have all sufficiency in all things. God's grace is so great that you can have sufficiency in all things. Have you ever read something sometimes and they get to a certain point and then it stops? You say, I wish they'd continued this. Or maybe you're doing a recipe or something. You see the recipe, it's got all this. I wish they'd gone a little bit further and told us a little bit more about how to put this together. Well, that's what God did. Here's the recipe, but He told us everything in there. Here's the recipe. Add this, 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 and this, and this. But then at the bottom of that recipe, it tells how to mix it all together and how to put it all together and what will result. Marty likes to buy a book every year. She goes, we have to go to Dillard's every year and buy this book about holiday recipes. I've forgotten exactly what it's called, but she's got enough of them that we're all going to have to build another room on the house to put them in. She buys one every year, and that's fine. I don't mind that because she's a pretty good cook and she uses some of those recipes. But that's what it is. Now, I noticed I was looking through it with her the other day, and we were looking at these things, and she said, well, you probably wouldn't like this, James. And then we turned around and said, yeah, you'd like this. And we read what was in it, and then she read down at the bottom and said, mix this together and all this and do that and something else. And when you get through it, it'll really taste good. I said, well, why don't you cook it then? That's the idea. God didn't just say some things and just leave us there hanging. But He told us how to put them into our life and how to put them to use. And that's His grace. And because of that, we have all sufficiency. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, we have. And that makes us sufficient in Christ. He not only says having all sufficiency in all things in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. He said that you may have an abundance, listen to this, for every good work. I wish I knew how to do that. Well, I wish I knew how to do that. Here's the recipe. Right there. That I'll have sufficiency. Not only that I'll have sufficiency in all things, but I'll have the abundance of what I need for every good work. And the Bible says we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. that he afore prepared that we should walk in. That idea of preparing before has to do with his grace. And so what I do is that I don't know what to do. What do I need to do? There it is. No wonder Paul told Timothy, till I come, you give heed to reading. No wonder he told him to study, to present yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, handling right of truth. You take out a recipe, and if you cut it in half, maybe you've dropped the second half of it. What you're making is not going to be quite the same, is it? So you follow the entire recipe, I mean to the very end. And then it's what it ought to be. That's the way it is with the grace of God. His grace of God is sufficient to us, and it makes us abundant for every good thing we need to do, for every good work. So what should we do? Well, we ought to always give thanks unto our wonderful God for the things that He's done for us. Would you think about that this year too? This evening we're going to look more into the love of God. Are you interested enough to think about God twice on the same day? That we can come together. Are you willing to give a little bit more time to God today? So we can talk some more about that. And how rich it will make us as we serve the Lord. What should we think about? Well, this is what we think about. Let's always give thanks. A few weeks ago we had Thanksgiving. We gave thanks for a lot of things. But let's always, always give thanks unto God. That's why I said it's not just one day a year or not one week a year. Let's always give thanks unto God. And I realize we do that sometimes in prayer. We do that sometimes in the life we live. Sometimes we show that thanks by just simply saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Like those people on the day of Pentecost, who are now convinced that the man that they crucified on the cross is both Lord and Savior. Men and brethren, what would you have us to do? And they're told to repent and be baptized and remiss their sins. That's the wonderful grace of God we were talking about. It's a wonderful thing to come to the Lord. We're just about the end of the year 2019. Wouldn't it be great in your life to look back and say, you know, I obeyed the gospel at the end of that year, so I've got all of next year, if I live, to serve the Lord. And why would you do that? Well, not only because you need to and because you've got sins and you need to have them washed away, but because you always think about how wonderful it is that God has done these things for you. How about availing yourself of His grace this morning? As a penitent believer, confessing your faith in Christ, being baptized for the remission of your sins, so that you might rise to walk in newness of life, so that you might be faithful till the very day you die. I want you to think about something, people. When you die, and Jesus Christ has come, and He's looking right at you, and He says, I want you to come and go home with me. Do you think there might be a little excitement there in your heart because of that? And the reason He'll say that is because you've done what He asked you to do. And you'll think in your heart, how wonderful it is that I can go home and be with the Lord. It's up to you whether or not you want to go home and be with Him. Can I help you do that? As together we stand and sing.